Welcome to the Min-Maxed Podcast. We want to thank you for joining us, and you do so as we continue the Extinction Curse. A recap of Session 34. We're in Escadar, and we want to set up our circus. We have a meeting with some town leaders who are already in conference with a Celestial Menagerie douchebag. We all debate, and in the end, the leader gives us a plot of land, but it needs to be cleared first. She gives us an entirely arbitrary 2 weeks to do this. When we get to the land where the circus will be set up, we do a little bit of cleaning, and the wizard sets many things on fire. Jeb is entirely convinced that cleaning this plot of land will take exactly 3 days. On the first night there, some wolves circle the camp. In the morning, we track them to a cave, where we find a notebook with the initials JW. We learn about some stolen items in a tree. We then journey deeper into the cave.
As you kind of walk through the next tunnel here, it's a short tunnel, to get to the next section of the cave, you see that it opens up into a cavern that has a ceiling that's even lower than other sections of the cave system. This section has a 5-foot high ceiling, and there's a natural pillar that's in the center of the cave that appears defensible, but there's also a carpet of lichen that looks like it could be almost comfortable. It looks really soft and pillowy. That definitely looks like the section that was called off on JW's quick drawing of this cave system here.
That sounds like a nature check waiting to happen.
But to the south, there's another entrance that goes deeper in, and this is probably a little more concerning. This oblong cave to the south has a strong smell of animals. There are bones, antlers, and scraps of fur that are piled to the east and west of this cave. Low passages lead out of the chamber, also further to the south. But even as you're at the north section of this cave opening, you smell a foul smell emanating from the south passage.
Like
from
worse,
the south passage.
Yep. Worse than the troglodytes?
Absolutely not. Nothing's that bad.
Well, then they make it sound like it's bad.
I mean, it's bad, but it's not that bad. Them Zolgaths smell rank.
I've got a sun rod in my hand. I don't know how far I'm able to see.
Cave goes about 60 feet back, so it'd be relatively easy for you to see in dim light. In fact, the sun rod makes several shapes dance on the walls of this cavern. You see a cluster on the western side, huddled around that pile of bones and antlers, four wolves kind of picking at the bones there. But deep into the cave, there is a very large wolf, like a direly large wolf. And as Peach Pie kind of takes the sun rod and peeks through that opening, the wolves in this cave pop their heads up from where they were gnawing on bones and gristle, and they begin to growl at you in unison. Initiative!
Aw, I was going to say, it sounds like a job for Jeb.
I was going to say that too.
Oh my god, Mom. Look at all these wolves. There are 6 regular wolves and 1 dire wolf. Funnel them. Make them come to us.
At the top of round 1, Peach Pie, you start us off.
One action to rage, and 2 actions to ready action to hit the first thing that, first enemy that gets within my range.
I feel like ready actioning while raging seems like it shouldn't work.
But it does.
No, absolutely. That's just Peach Pie going, come on, hit me.
Oh, just hit me already.
I'm still having a hard time picturing, like, Peach Pie raging.
Yeah, he just gets really sad.
More sad than usual?
Like, he's just crying.
Raging sadness.
I really like that visual. After Peach Pie, Jebediah, it's your turn.
I see Peach Pie's stance, and I agree with that, just staying there. And then I also move Turtle up to here, and I too will be done.
Are you taking the ready action, or
To smack.
All right. And after Jebediah, one of the wolves from around the corner here slowly circles out and is just growling. Uses its second action to lunge forward to Peach Pie.
Then I will take my ready to action and attack it.
Oh, this poor dog.
I get a 17 to hit.
A 17 hits.
Lucky, because I rolled poorly. Incoming damage, 16.
Oof.
It's still alive.
Jeb gets his triggered action as well. Go ahead, Jeb, what'd you get?
26, which seems to be a critical.
It is. Now 26 is a critical hit.
Feel bad.
Oh, God.
35 damage.
Poor puppy. You just completely slice it. It's a 1-2 punch from Peach Pie's big stake driver over to the unnamed Dwarven War Axe and just slices it down. It's dead. Well, that takes us over to the wizard. It's your turn.
The wiz stumbles his way over behind Peach Pie so he can see into the cavern. And he just shoots a fireball in there, and there is one spot that would hit every creature in there.
Oh, fuck yes. Fuck there it is. Yes.
There's one spot. I did all the math. Like the grid.
Yes.
There's one single spot that hits them all.
Boys, we are now officially playing Dungeons & Dragons because it's Fireball. or Pathfinder or whatever it is. We are now playing.
All right, so we're going to start making some reflex saves for these wolves.
Oh, God. They are going poorly.
Oh,
they are
going
really poorly.
Oh my gosh. You have to be kidding me.
So we got failure, critical failure, failure, critical failure, save.
Yep. So the big dire wolf saves and one of the other wolves saves. It's actually the one that's kind of tucked behind the corner a little bit.
Oh, that's terrible. Three ones?
Ugh.
Four ones? No, three ones. 17 damage.
17 damage. Holy hell.
Three ones on that, though.
Still, think about it, though. That's split between six. Two of them at half.
Two of them at half, two of them at double.
Okay, so this fireball goes right into the center of this cavern, and two of the wolves immediately burn. And it's the two wolves that are the closest to the fireball, but they just... and they collapse immediately, dealing that critical damage to them because of that failure. They die right out. The other ones definitely take damage. A couple of them are bloodied by that hit. The large wolf in the corner doesn't seem as affected as the other ones are, but that was an amazing hit, Wizard. Take a hero point, Ted.
We're casting Fireball. We're
fireballing a room?
Yeah, because that's the
most... I mean, I'll take it.
Exactly. That is
we're doing
most,
exactly what I'm supposed to do.
Then after the wizard fireballs the room to death, you're in their lair. They want to protect their lair. So one of the wolves from deep in the cave takes two actions to stride up to Jebediah, Peach Pie, and Turtle. It attacks Turtle with a 19 to hit.
Miss.
Ah, it snaps its jaws at Turtle and Turtle dodges out of the way. That wolf's dead. That's wolf's dead. The big wolfy boy in the back of the room takes two actions to stride up to the party. And over the top of his dead companion and the one that just attacked Turtle, uses its jaw to bite at Turtle.
Guys, stop.
26 to hit.
Hit.
That's going to deal Turtle 11 points of piercing damage. The wolf reaches over and bites at her. And that was its third action. It's all done. Now we're going to go to one of the surviving wolves from the cluster of four that were in the western side of the room.
Promise you'll get a turn eventually, Moonlight.
Right. Maybe there'll be a hero point in it for you if you do something obvious.
Depends on what these last two wolves do.
Takes two actions to lunge up and attack Jebediah and gets a 23 to hit Jeb.
Hit!
Jeb, you're going to take 6 points of piercing damage.
Ow.
And that's its third action because it took two to stride up. Moonlight, it's your turn.
Get this.
But
Moonlight delays.
Wait, what? Oh, that's right. It does go through to the next round.
Also, there's one more guy to go.
Ah. All right. Then the last wolf from the back of the room here. Oh, yeah. Makes it up to Peach Pie and attacks Jebediah, because I'm rolling randomly on these, with a jaw attack. Gets a 17 to hit.
That does not hit me.
Does not hit. We're going to gank another attack, this time against Peach Pie. Gets an 18 to hit.
Miss.
And that's going to be snapping jaws at the party. Then that is the end of round one. We're going back up to the top.
Moonlight's going to jump in now.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay. So now
just waiting
top
for
them
all to get clumped up.
Yeah. I think this might hit Jeb. I'm sorry about that, but I'm going to do it anyways.
I mean, are you?
I accept.
We are going to go with Sound Burst.
Okay, a bunch of fortitude saves here. Wolf number 5 fails. Wolf number 3 critically fails. Wolf number 2 fails. The large dire wolf succeeds. And Jebediah fails.
No.
Wow, that was silly of you to fail.
I tried harder.
All right, so keeping in normal Moonlight fashion, my 2d10 is a 9, so pretty shitty. But I do 18 damage to one of them, 9 to 3 of them, including Jebediah, and 4 to the large one.
Then 2 of the wolves who had previously been dealt damage by the wizard's fireball, they die from the loud boom. Jebediah, it's your turn.
Jebediah. Hickburn. There's only 2 guys left. Jesus.
Yep.
Turtle will move through the dire wolf. Does she have to do anything for that?
Doing.
Yeah, it's a tumble through check.
Yeah, tumble through.
And just acrobatics.
Yeah, it's an acrobatics check.
21.
21 is a success.
Sweet.
Because that's beating its
reflex.
Reflex save.
Reflex DC, you got it.
Or DC, yes.
Turtle dodges and weaves through the direwolf's legs to get to the other side. Flanking.
Jeb will swing with a 32 to hit.
Fucking nat 20 on the dice, yes, critical hit.
38 damage.
Fuck!
Turtle moved for no reason.
Jeb, you completely fell this thing in one big blow. It got softened up by the fireball and the sound burst, but that 38 damage, you just cleave this thing right in between its ears and split its skull.
Nice.
And it falls.
I mean, I almost feel bad for these wolves.
Almost, yeah.
Seriously. Peach Pie.
Peach Pie sees that these wolves have just been decimated and, yeah, kind of feels bad about them, which confounds with his raging sadness. And he looks at the wolf in front of him and just sobs uncontrollably.
I'm sorry.
And then he smashes it in the head with his hammer.
So sorry.
I get a 22.
It hits.
I deal it.
You kill it.
23 damage.
Your static killed it.
Yeah. It's very sad. It's a really sad thing right there that just happened.
Get beat into the ground, and they're all in a pile right in front of you guys because they ended up lunging at you at the entrance of their lair. A big, bloody, wolfy pile.
That didn't go well for them.
Not at all.
Level 5 is cool.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Moonlight wants to go check out this fungus stuff from a distance.
I admire how you keep your distance from the obviously dangerous thing that was hinted at you from the journal. Well done.
Yes.
Go ahead and give me a perception check.
23.
Okay. You know, obviously you got a little tip off from the journal that was in the little hideout in the cave system here, but there doesn't seem to be anything like malicious or dangerous about the lichen bed that's covering the floor here, and seems perfectly natural and fine in a cave system. That's, I mean, give me a nature check with it.
Does it say a nature check then? Oh, looks good. 13.
And doesn't look harmful at all.
Is there anything in it? With my 23 perception, do I see anything else in it? Like dead body or anything?
Not really. It's hard to see that close to it, just because there's that pillar in the way. You'd have to get closer to see on the other side of the pillar to be certain. You think you might see like a cloth sack back there, but it's really tough to say.
I try to get a better angle.
You kind of walk around the opposite wall on the north side of this cavernous room. And as you do so, you see on the opposite side of this pillar, there seems to be this yellow, almost like a yellow carpeting of this like fuzzy looking substance on the opposite side of this pillar that's in the middle of this room. And there is without a doubt a cloth sack back there next to the pillar.
Nature check on the fuzzies.
Go ahead and
I'm assuming it's a different thing than the lichen.
It is, without a doubt.
That one looks tasty.
Yeah, that actually looks like it might be some sort of like cave mold that you could eat, for sure.
I wonder if it's psychotropic. We could gather it all and sell it to patrons of the circus.
The Wiz would like to know if that's psychotropic, and we'll make a nature check.
You guys aren't even nearby. I'm
got the wizard's attention.
Damn it. I heard psychotropic, and the Wiz is jumping in.
That was Dave, 20. That was David psychotropic, 20. not Peach Pie.
I got a 30.
The Wiz is very, very big on herbology.
Will this shit do anything to me that I'd enjoy?
Okay. Well, go ahead and get closer. I need you to get an actual, like, position yourself on the map so that you can actually see this shit.
I'll move up to him.
So you get kind of, you get closer to the pillar here, still kind of keeping your distance, much like moonlight it is. But as you get closer, you notice that without a doubt, this is not any sort of edible or psychotropic mold of any kind. This is yellow mold. And this shit is dangerous. In fact, if you get too close to the mold or get really kind of like in its space, the mold will explode with mold spores, and they will really fuck your day up.
The Wiz takes a step back and says to his bushy friend, you might want to take a step back, man. You don't want to get moldy.
Moonlight steps back.
But guys, there's a bag in there.
Yeah, the wizard, while you're over there, you can see that cloth sack that's discarded next to the pillar as well.
I mean, do I know this the moment you, like, get near this shit, does it explode, or what's the trigger? Tell me all about it since I rolled the nat 20.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm doing. If a creature moves into the mold space or damages the mold, it gets this reaction, and the triggering creature and all creatures within 10 feet are exposed to yellow mold spores, and they're a poison. And basically, it will just, it deals a bunch of poison damage and gives you the drained condition. And it's not an easy poison to overcome either. It's a very strong, virulent poison. Okay, sorry, that's a rules term. It's not actually virulent.
I was gonna say, is it actually virulent?
No, it's not actually virulent. It's just really fucking poisonous.
I use Mage Hand to try to pick up the bag.
However, the mold cannot use its spore explosion reaction if it's exposed to direct sunlight or if the damage it takes is fire damage.
I try to mage hand the bag out. I can mage hand up to one bulk.
Up to one bulk. You are able to pull the cloth bag from underneath the bed of lichen next to that pillar.
Don't sound so annoyed that we make skill checks to do things.
I bring it to myself and I detect magic on it.
It's so fucking magic.
I spellcraft it.
Do you have this quick spellcraft at all or no?
No, but I have a plus 14 to my spellcraft, to my arcana. I'm sorry. It's not really spellcraft anymore. Arcana. I get a 23 on it. It takes 10 minutes.
You are... Well, let's see what everybody else is doing for that 10 minutes as well.
Sitting down.
I'll pop a heal on Turtle and then restore my focus.
Everybody else just kind of hangs out while the wizard checks this bag out.
Yeah. Somebody want to, Jeb, do you want to heal yourself too?
I could run a first aid on you.
I do not want to. I'll take a first aid.
I'll first aid Jeb. Maybe. I do, with a 20. Jeb, unfortunately, you don't get the extra healing that I get from, you get 4.
Perfect.
So Peach Pie patches Jeb up. Moonlight just kind of sits and patiently waits. The wizard examines the bag.
I play with the bag, let's be honest. Like, I just, right. like,
kind of fondle it. And
I'm fondling that bag.
Got it. You are.
I put it in my head. Look around. That's me doing an arcana check. I look into the bag.
This is in fact a type 1 bag of holding. And inside that type 1 bag of holding, you find a smaller bag filled with some fine dust.
Bags and bags and bags? Fuck yes.
Bags and bags and bags. There's also a small vial holding some sort of alchemical concoction.
I 100% just start grabbing shit out of the bag and tossing it behind me towards everybody. I don't care what the shit is. Like, I just start chucking it behind me, so...
Too busy fondling the bag, right?
I don't know if you need like reflex saves for people to save vials and glass bottles and shit.
I will run around humorously trying to catch the things and juggle them.
I like it.
I enjoy it. And then there is also a silver compass.
I would stop and look at that. Is that magical?
It's not.
That threw it behind me.
What kind of dust is it?
A small bag of dust is magical.
Wizard, what's the dust?
It's magical?
The dust is magical.
You said there was a vial, right?
There's also a vial, yes.
23 on the dust.
So we're going to take another 10 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say we're going to take another 10.
Sounds like it. I mean, we cleared these caves.
Okay, before we get there, in the southern end of that cave, that cavern, where the wolves came from, everybody give me a perception.
The Wiz got a 21. He's being extra perceptive right now, trying to find hallucinogenic mushrooms.
While you're like, when you finish up with the bag of holding and you realize what it is, I saw you pocket that thing too.
Oh, I took it immediately. As soon as it was in the party sheet, I put that into my inventory. I'm sorry, everybody. The Wiz would do it.
Peachpie would have no idea and wouldn't care.
You hear, like from deeper within the cave, this low, grumbly voice. And it almost sounds like it's like an anxious. It sounds anxious.
In common?
You speak like all the languages, don't you?
I speak Abyssal, Aklo, Orin, Common, Draconic, Dwarven, Elven, Infernal, Shadow Tongue, and Undercommon.
Yeah, like all the languages.
I just listed my languages. Yeah. It's not all of them. I don't have Celestial, for example.
Which I still find odd, but maybe not. No, I don't think
it's a little odd.
Too, where's Tengu?
It's a little too, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's too nice for the Wiz. It's too composed. I don't know. I don't know. There's a word for it. I can't think of it.
Too angelic.
He's just used to, I mean, based on his background, he's just used to dealing with shadier creatures than that.
Too pure.
There you go. It makes you uncomfortable.
I might learn it eventually, but I don't know if I'll ever speak it properly.
So you hear in a language that you do understand, but if I remember correctly, your whole thing is you don't really care what language it's spoken.
I don't know what language it's in. I just know what it says.
Okay.
Come get me, you cunt.
Come get me, you cunt?
No.
That's kind of what
that's
I
got.
Come get me or don't.
You just call me a cunt?
Get him, Wiz!
Where'd that come from? The southern cave?
Yeah, it did.
I fireball that shit again. No.
Come get me? In a deep, gravelly, anxious voice, come get me or don't.
Come get me or don't. Dude, do you guys want to go get that guy? I mean, he gave us the option to not get him, too. So, like, we could get him, or we... Don't get him, like...
You guys don't even know what the wizard's talking about. You didn't hear anything.
The listeners can't see, but I'm just moving hands back and forth. Like, which option are we going with?
Everybody,
weighing a scale.
If
like,
I didn't
which
hear
option?
Anything, I would have just moved forward.
No, a dude said to come get him, or don't. So do we not come get him? Or are we going to come get him?
I roll a what the fuck are you talking about roll.
You failed.
You failed.
Yeah, full disclosure, the DC to understand what the fuck the wizard's talking about is pretty damn high.
I can imagine, yeah. Peach Pie? Moonlight? You guys heard that, right? Like, the dude wants us to come get him or don't.
Or didn't hear anything.
How much have you had to smoke today?
The recommended amount.
By
Who? The CDC or what?
Man, this bag's cool. Do you guys see this bag?
Yes, we saw you get the bag.
There's powder in here. I already forgot what this powder was. What was this powder?
You haven't identified it yet.
So what did this voice say?
What voice?
The voice you were just talking about.
Oh, that one. It said something about, like, coming or not coming. I don't know. It was weirdly sexual. I don't know.
Well, why don't you finish identifying that dust then?
Okay. To come or not to come? That is the question. So what's this dust?
You gave me the check already, so the wizard starts checking out that bag of dust. What did the rest of you do during that time?
I imagine he snorts a line of it.
That's part of identifying it.
Yeah. I just wait. I just chill out. I can't identify the vial until I set up my alchemy lab. Fun story. You can't identify alchemy items unless you have an alchemy lab.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Moonlight listens to hear, see if they hear any voices.
Go ahead and give me that perception check.
Does he get a bonus, any type of bonus, since I pointed it out? He doesn't need it.
Never mind. Nat 20.
You hear a gravelly voice coming from that southern section of the cave. You don't understand it? Hold on. No, you don't understand what the voice is saying, but you can, with the perception check that high, it sounds anxious. And the longer that you wait, the more anxious it gets.
Wiz, I do hear something. It doesn't seem like it's saying anything. Just some weird noises.
It would seem as though the wizard is able to understand many languages, but it doesn't seem to understand that he's understanding multiple languages. It's quite strange, says Bernard.
Oh, I almost forgot about you, Bernard.
I know, that's why I decided to speak a little bit, just to interject myself, to remind everybody that I'm here, and I'm Bernard.
Bernard gets a hero point.
Will literally do nothing ever in combat, ever.
Man, no, like, for sure, they're saying, like, come or don't come. It's really weird. Well, did I figure out what this dust is yet? God?
Yeah. After 10 minutes, you're able to identify the dust as dust of appearance, which is interesting. It's a talisman. And you hold it in one hand, and with a single interact action, the powder coats all creatures in a 10-foot burst when you fling it into the air, centered on a point within 5 feet of you. And for 1 minute, the coated creatures cannot be concealed or invisible, nor can they gain benefits from mirror image or similar abilities that create illusory duplicates. Any illusions in the area of third level or lower are revealed as such.
I would hand this talisman/bag of dust over to Peach Pie and just be like, "You might find this useful. It fucks up illusion shit, like invisible and stuff, and weird images. Like if you throw it at them, it like fucks it all up."
All right, I'll hold on to it then.
Do we want to go like come or not come? Man, I
what
wish
are you going on about?
I miss Sabatry. Like
all these missed opportunities, right?
There's no way she would have known this language, though. So the wizard necessary. But I think we should go to that guy. Like he wants us to come, or not come. I guess we could leave.
Well, we should check out that part of the cave, though.
I'm with the bush.
Beachby will start moving south toward that end of the cave. He'll pick up his sunrod that he would have dropped when combat initiated.
Hello.
Peachby, as you kind of get down into this doorway almost, I'm not going to call it a doorway. What would you call it? Like
passageway.
The entrance. The passageway, thank you. Or the passageway into the southern cavernous room here where the wizard was hearing this voice from. You see a large creature. And I'm going to share a photo with the party.
Can I just say I'm like 100% behind Peach Pie, just like creeping my head around like his shoulder, like using him as a body shield, a meat shield.
Oh my. Okay. Oh, that's
seems majestic.
That looks wonderful. Like, I'll wave at it and be like, hey, buddy, like, are you the one that wants me to come or not come? Like,
so when you walk back through the passageway here, you see this creature, and it's a large, beefy, it's a muscular wolf creature standing on two legs with, like, the hands of a human, big clawed hands, and the ears of a bat. Its mouth is pulled back in, like, a snarling smile. And as you walk back into the room, he says, in common, he goes, you've come for me. Don't take me back. I'll never go back.
I really speak quick. Back in his language. Go back where?
You can't take me back to the menagerie. Really?
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is this picture, like, actually the picture of this individual? Because there is, like, a brand that says CM on that creature's arm.
On its left shoulder. Yeah.
Where is everybody right now?
I'm hiding behind Peach Pie.
Well, I mean, I want to get really close once I see what it is.
Actually, we are also from the runaways from the menagerie.
Would Moonlight have this said brand?
Do they recognize them?
No, Jeb doesn't recognize them.
Would Moonlight, being caged up all the time, probably near the other caged animals?
Yeah, Moonlight doesn't recognize this creature either.
I did just refer to Moonlight as an animal. I'm sorry. I apologize for my...
To the menagerie, Moonlight is just a
species
thing.
Yeah.
Thingism.
Jeb, as your eyes kind of turn to the scar tissue that's on the beast's shoulder, it's angry and red and void of the coarse hair that's covering the rest of its body. The brand is clear, much like your memories of those days. CM for the Celestial Menagerie. In Jeb's mind's eye, he peeks through a small slit in the big top tent towards the ghastly wails and sounds of searing flesh. The smell of burnt hair permeates his nostrils. Horrified, but unable to turn away, he watches as the lumbering hill giant clown, Creel, carries a struggling tiger in his massive arms.
Ow, kitty, stop scratching Creel!
He bellows as the large female Siberian rakes at his face. Behind him, one of the Celestial Menagerie's many unwashed bruisers pulls behind him a small, caged cart. Small meows cascade in duress as the hulking giant squeezes the tiger tightly. Boars, shut those miserable whelps up! Another bruiser scolds. Mistress Dusklight wants to ensure all the animals are properly marked before the next show. The man turns the branding iron in the red-hot coals of the brazier. Damn it. The brazier nearby.
But Kandor, I'm missing one of the babes. Won't the mistress be upset if we don't get all of them?
What do you mean you lost one of them?
That's not what I said, boars. One of them is missing.
You buffoon. Don't you realize there isn't a difference?
Boars throws his cudgel at the other man, who ducks. The heavy length of wood thuds noisily on the bars of the wooden cage containing the Siberian cubs with a startling thwack.
No, kitty, stop wiggling!
The Siberian mother claws and gnashes her teeth wildly and finds purchase, sinking her jaws deeply into the hill giant's neck. Creel's pained bellows rumble through the big top. He roars in uncontrollable rage as at the big top's peaks and stomps his massive foot into the floor over and over. The mother gets away. The ground heaves and shudders. The brazier tumbles over, knocking the hot coals and the branding iron as the Siberian barrels through the bruiser named Kandor, who falls into a heap. She puts her face up to the bars of the small caged wagon and tries to comfort her cubs through the bars. All the while, Creel continues his pained beating of the ground.
Aw, fuck, Creel! Get the mama tiger back in hand so we can get this business over with!
Boris shouts at the giant while running off, presumably to gather water for the overturned fire hazard dangerously close to the big top canvas walls. Creel, with hate and anger in his eyes, turns to the Siberian and her caged cubs and shouts in rage, "Oh, Creel will get in hand!" His massive hands encloses the entire back half of a full-grown tiger. Jeb hears sickening crunches of dozens of bones being ground into dust under the strain of the giant's grasp. The tiger yowls in pain. The cubs go silent. He can't watch this anymore, he tells himself as he turns away from the grisly scene. Jeb stands there for a moment, torn. He should interfere, but that monster would crush him in an instant. Someone has to look after her. She won't last in the wilds of the Isle of Arran on her own without her mother. A short moment passes in silence as Jeb contemplates intervening before he hears the second terrible sound. Like a pillowcase filled with rotten apples smashing into a pile of loose wood. Smash! The sound of a small wooden wagon with small wooden bars being demolished. Kerthud! Kerthud! The sound diminishes as Jebediah Hickburn runs back to his tent, tears streaming from his eyes. There's a small cat curled in the tiniest ball under his cot back at his tent. She's been like that for hours, like a tiny fuzzy turtle trying to hide in the shell that she doesn't have. He's the only thing left in this world that she has now, and he has to protect her. Snap back into reality.
I'm sad now.
Jeb, you feel Turtle's head goes into your hand and kind of rubs up against you, snaps you back in to reality. Moonlight, you were asking something of the creature.
Actually, I was telling the creature something.
Oh, go ahead.
We are also runaways from the Celestial Menagerie.
Lies, you say anything to get me back.
No, he used to be in a cage. And
shut up, small wizard.
That's mean.
Yeah, shut up. Shut up. Shut up, shut up. You'll never take me back.
Be nicer.
We don't want to take you back.
So, Druid, can you like be nice to this dude?
He slams his fist on the ground and,
no, you won't take me back. I recognize you, Jeb.
Oh, shit. He's not an animal. He's a fiend. So it's not like I can fucking empathy. I'll empathy him humanly.
You absolutely do not recognize this creature at all.
Well, the best I can, I explain to him that I know the torches that he easily could have taken, even though I don't recognize him, and I have no intention to dragging him back to the Celestial Menagerie. In fact, I look to destroy the Celestial Menagerie. And then, I don't, yeah.
Yes, we are part of the Circus of Wonders Wayward. It's wonderful.
He's the new guy.
they haven't actually accepted me into the circus yet.
We did too.
He forgot.
Wait, you did? I thought we were still on, like, you guys saying no, because I didn't have, like, an app.
Shut up! Shut up, shut up, shut up!
No, like, calm down, man. We're in the middle of something. Am I in the circus, or am I not in the circus?
This guy pisses me off.
Hey,
This guy pisses everybody off.
Calm down. Here, you wanna hit off this?
What is this? No, I've been drugged for years of my life.
But it's a fun drug. Like,
no,
relax.
I won't take it anymore.
Makes you hungry. I got some candy. You want some?
He's gonna initiate combat.
Fuck that! I'm not hurting him.
Then you should have let us talk to him.
I was waiting for you guys to do more diplomacy checks.
Go ahead and roll initiative, everybody.
This is what we're getting at.
Spoilers, there is no way for you to succeed on this. Natural 20 wouldn't even.
We're gonna find
out. But I wanna know more about him.
Yeah, we're gonna succeed at this. We're not gonna kill him.
We're gonna succeed at what? Subduing him?
He's gonna join the circus.
Yeah, we'll deal fucking subdual damage. It's easy.
Oh, good. So we're literally gonna capture him. The one thing he's asking us not to do.
We'll just knock him out and we'll walk away. Is that. We can do that.
I'm gonna knock him out and bring him with me.
I'll put him in shackles.
No, I'm not gonna shackle him. I'm just gonna bring him with me and be like, bro, like, just hit this.
So you're also gonna drug him up. The other thing he said he didn't want.
Yeah.
God damn it.
It'll make him forget. That's the one thing that he might want. Starting off at the top of round one It is the large fiend's turn. Uses his first action to take a step up towards Jebediah and makes a claw attack on Jeb. Gets a 20 to hit.
Miss.
And with the second action, claws at Jeb. This time gets a 28 to hit.
Yeah.
And will deal Jeb 15 points of slashing damage. And he just repeats,
I'm never going back, I'm never going back.
Moonlight, it's your turn.
Action one, I think we'll go with some tentacular limbs. Two and three, Moonlight reaches out and says, now you can feel like a real hero. And I cast heroism on him.
Nice.
It's a plus one status bonus to attack rolls, perception checks, saving throws, and skill checks.
Cool. We can do that.
For 10 minutes. But that is Moonlight's turn.
Bernard has the biggest hero boner right now. Peach Pie, it's your turn.
All right. First action, Peach Pie will rage. Second action, Peach Pie will move up to the large fiend. And with my third action, I will simply attack. With heroism. Ooh, 32 to hit.
32 hits.
So we'll start out by dealing him 24 damage.
Big hit.
That's worrying me a little bit that that's not a critical hit.
Right, yeah, that worries me a lot.
That's what I was thinking too. All right, I'm done.
All right, then after Peach Pie, the Wiz, it's your turn.
And why'd you have to like go and hit someone? Like, that's not nice. Can I cast Sudden Bolt on him? Tighten the third level?
He gets a 31. It's critical.
Oh, success. Wonderful. Can I like make him reroll two hero points?
No. Nice try, though.
I don't do anything with my third action.
Stand there stupefied. All right. And then after the wizard, Jebediah, it's your turn.
I will have Turtle move south to the fiend, and Jebediah will activate Reflection of Light.
Ooh, we're busting out all sorts of new shit tonight.
Which is what we got at the end of book one. Giving
That's
myself
right.
Fast healing three. Does that take effect the second I cast it?
I feel like I read that it doesn't, if
Good
I remember right.
Question.
I think you were saying that fast healing triggered at the beginning of your turn. Yeah. I think what you were saying, David.
It does. I'm looking at it.
Perfect.
Hit points each round at the beginning of its turn. So that'll start next round.
And then with my final... No, actually, I won't have a final turn. I'll give my other turn to Turtle. And she'll attempt a attack and get a natural 20 on the beast fiend.
Turtle crit.
She doesn't like that he was yelling at Jeff. 24.
Shit, jeez. Nice rolls. Then after Jebediah, it's back up to the top of round two. It is the large fiend's turn. And what he does is he casts a spell.
Oh, shit.
Anybody have attack of opportunity yet?
Not yet. Not till next level.
And after he's finished casting his spell, he disappears. Uses his third action to do something unknown to you.
Motherfucker.
Moonlight, it's your turn.
Oh, now I have to remember what was a seek action.
The fuck was the name of that dust we just got?
Dust of Appearance?
If you're looking for creatures, choose an area you're scanning. If precision is necessary, the GM can have you select a 30-foot cone or a 15-foot burst within line of sight. When you're using the seek to search for objects, not the case, you will attempt, it says to make a single secret perception check, but we've already called we really don't do secret checks on this podcast. So, Swanee, go ahead and for your action, give me a perception check.
27.
You can't pinpoint it. It's still hidden, but you're pretty sure that you heard it move behind Peach Pie.
Now what to do with that information?
There is a basic action called Point Out, where a creature is undetected by one or more of your allies, but isn't undetected to you. Now it is currently hidden to you, not undetected.
I fucking love Pathfinder 2E. That is so good.
Point out.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
And do I think he's directly behind him or like two? I suppose he would only fit like directly behind him.
He's large. He really only fits directly behind Peach Pie given the situation.
Okay, I guess action two is to point out. It sounded like he moved behind you, Peach Pie.
I shall take note of that.
Third action. What do I want to do? I'm just going to move a little bit. I'm going to move onto the bone pile. I don't want to get too close to this thing.
Then, Peach Pie, it's your turn. Moonlight just pointed out this creature to you. You're pretty sure it's behind you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to utilize that item that we picked up, the Dust of Appearance. Action one, I will retrieve it. Action two, I will interact with it, and I will throw it behind me. I have to pick a point within 5 feet of me. I'll pick the point directly to my north. It is a 10-foot burst from there, covering everybody within a 10-foot burst, which is going to be Jeb, myself, and hopefully the bad guy in a dust. Creatures that are coded can't be concealed or invisible, nor can they benefit from any mirror image or similar abilities that create illusory duplicates.
All right, so as soon as Peach Pie throws that dust, it hits the large fiend, and he goes,
got my eyes!
I have to ask, is there any kind of save for it? Or is this automatic?
It just happens.
I mean, it's a 50 gold item that is now consumed, but worth it?
I mean, considering what his next action was going to be, probably.
Worth it for Jebediah to be able to smack this bitch.
Well, I still have a third action. And I'm going to smack the bitch.
Really, I'm sorry. You've had such a hard life, and I don't want to kill you.
Oh, God. Peach Pie will never not be funny to me.
That's the point. I get an 18 and miss. I'm using one of those two goddamn hero points.
Hey. You still have that plus one also.
Oh, thank you.
No, a 19 would not have hit.
I was assuming not. Well, I know. Oh,
we know that.
32
because...
wasn't a crit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
25. Looks like that hits, though.
It does. On the nose. Thank you, Jesus. Mike.
I hate it.
Boost, boost, boost. Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Who? That's Max Deeps. That's 34 damage.
That's a
two big, 12s at the D12s.
Big fucking hit from Peach Pie on that one. Good use of the hero point.
Indeed.
Fantastic.
And the buff from Moonlight. And the item we got. So that all worked out well. I am done.
Fucking teamwork, guys. Holy crap. I really thought this round was going to go differently. The Wiz, it's your turn.
Seek action for the win.
Yeah. You never should have pointed that out to us, Tyler.
Well, I did the seek action. He pointed out the point out. Because I honestly did not know that was an action.
Yeah, neither did I.
I was looking into it specifically for this fight, and since we hadn't come across it before, I would have just been a dick not to point it out. So,
The Wiz will use Shocking Grasp and use a third action to make a reach spell.
Okay.
This is the heightened level 2 version of it for extra damage. Hero point.
17 misses.
Ooh.
28 hits.
Yeah, it does.
Terrible roll on 3d12.
Yeah,
with a 1 of 3 and an 11, 15 damage. Fuck tonight, man. I'm just... We're 3 ones on my fireball, a 1 and a 3 on this, critical save on my other spell. Like, fuck, I'm done. I'm just going to run away from the fight. I'm done.
This one shockingly does full damage. All right, then after the wizard reach spell, shock and grasp, it is Jebediah's turn.
So I will restore 3 hit points.
He is bloodied right now. You guys took him out of that invisibility and just rocked his shit.
I'll give Turtle a turn and bite into this thing.
A 25 hits.
Thank goodness for flanking.
9 damage. Completely resisted. Okay.
Yep.
What does it resist? Oh my goodness.
Resisted all 9.
Like, no one tries a slashing next time, maybe.
Chip doesn't want to hit this thing, but I mean, maybe he won't. Who knows? A 26.
That hits. Jebediah slices the large creature right across its throat, and that spray of blood goes all over Peach Pie and Jeb. and the creature falls to its knees.
Never go back.
And it collapses. It's dead. He's exactly at zero.
Revive him!
I will say that he is a named creature. Do what you will with that.
I'll talk to him.
Heal him!
First, he has to make a death saving throw.
Wiz, do you want to make like a knowledge check to see if these guys are like evil or something?
Yes, but I don't want to make everything I learned known. What can I check
also,
should I make?
I really don't feel like the wizard.
Are we still on initiative because he has to make a death save?
We are, and he did just make the death saving throw. He made it, and he stabilized.
Okay.
So he's laying on the ground, bleeding out, breathing laboredly.
Well, he shouldn't be breathing out. He's just...
Yeah, if he made the save, he wouldn't be bleeding out.
Yeah, you're
right. He's just technically unconscious.
He's unconscious. That slice across his throat heals very quickly, but he's unconscious and breathing.
I ask Peach Pie to back up.
I do.
I'll kneel down in a comforting way. I don't know. And I will cast heal on him.
Move up there too.
Oh yeah? He doesn't like you.
Jeb, technically you go last. So
okay, that's fine.
Yeah, we'll get that. I know what you're gonna do, but before Jeb gets down and kneels next to it, Moonlight, do you do anything specific with your three actions?
Moonlight will do their own check that
recall knowledge?
Yeah, recall knowledge.
You'll need to give me a recall knowledge with a religion check.
Great. Nope. Seven.
And no idea what the fuck this thing is.
Seeing what Jeb's about to do, I cast shield on myself.
Peach Pie, did you want to do anything?
I just back away as Jeb shoos me.
Okay. Wizard?
Oh, it's shook.
Religion.
Yep. 28.
This is, without a doubt, a Barghest.
Anything else?
Lots of things. What do you want to know?
How many items do I get?
I'll give you two.
What should I ask, guys?
And he be redeemed.
I mean, is that...
Hey, Daru's not here. No one's getting...
I mean, he was domesticated. Like... I feel like he's a slave.
I know, and it also wouldn't be based on... That wouldn't have anything to do with what you would know about Barghest. That's...
Yeah. I don't really know what to know for a knowledge roll.
Here's some information I can give you without taking up your two.
Are they good or evil? Are they...
They are...
The Wiz wouldn't care about that.
They are fiends. It is a demon.
Generally accepted as evil.
What plane is it from, then? Or is it normally from this plane?
Gosh, I think that makes it from Abaddon.
Do I know? Would a demon like this like been born there and crossed over to here? Or would, like...
They're generally... they're from the Abyss. Barghests typically come to Galarian to feed on humanoid flesh out of hunger, but mostly so that they can become greater Barghests by consuming enough human flesh and then returning to the Abyss to take their place at a point of power. Barghests are generally disciplined, cunning hunters. They generally wish to have no part in the absolute unbridled chaos of demons, but they do share a special connection with the demon goddess Lamashtu.
Oh, good.
Lamashtu, wonderful.
Scholars claim that in the time before time, the goddess freed a group of Barghests kept in a kennel by the god Asmodeus. She elevated them to demigodhood and created small realms within her abyssal realm for them.
Do they have the ability to send themselves back? I would assume not, if he's stuck in this cave.
Do they have to become like a greater Barghest to be able to go back?
They would have to become a great Barghest in order to
I will
go back.
Feed him the flesh of the celestial menagerie.
Oh, fuck.
I was basically going to offer that.
Yep, that's my plan now.
You're better at diplomacy. You got this, man. I'll back you up on it, but I have zero diplomacy. So after doing that knowledge check, the Wiz will move up next to the Barghest and just kneel down. Or not have a kneel down, like sit like cross-legged.
Yeah.
And spark up my pipe and just chill.
Did they get rid of alignment requirements?
For what?
For classes. Just making sure if I make a promise to a demon to feed its souls, I'm not going to lose my druid powers.
Well, as you all will find out very soon that evil druids do in fact exist, you're probably fine.
I mean, I think they have to be neutral, correct?
I mean, as long as it's not anathema to what you, to what your, you know, powers are, require to your druid order, then just, your powers are fine. It is Jeb's turn.
Jeb cast a three action heal to everyone in the room.
All right.
For a whopping 2 HP.
Wait, a three action first level heal?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. So that's going to bring the Barghest back up, and he's going to...
What? Where am I?
You're still here, Carl. I don't know his name.
Jeb.
I know how you can go home. Do you want to go home?
Go home. I've been at the menagerie for...
Oh, shit.
Years.
My wizard friend tells me you can become a greater Barghest.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
which will allow you to go home. To back to your plane. To your...
You mean to the abyss?
Would you like that?
I don't even care. I just don't want to go back. Don't take me back, Jeb, please.
I escaped. Look behind you. I helped them escape.
Yeah, I'm the Wizard of Wayward Wonders.
He's... Hi.
Hi.
You're not lying to me.
I wish I had... Do we have anything from when we killed the clown?
Jellico?
I doubt we took trophies. I guess.
No, you didn't keep anything from him.
I wanted to keep the robot, I remembered, but nobody could fix it.
I tell him the name of Creel. Is that what you called him?
Creel.
When I say that name, does he have a reaction? I'll help you get your revenge against him. We're going to kill them all.
We already killed Jellico and the fire juggler or fire eater.
I don't remember all of them. I've spent most of my time drugged.
I know you remember Creel, and I remember him. And he needs to die.
Man, I spend all my time drugged. What's wrong with being drugged? Like,
it's definitely not the same drugs.
Do you want some of my drugs? They're much more enjoyable, I bet.
The guy's at 2 HP, and you're going to have to smoke some pot?
Something you forget your wounds.
He's going to spend an action.
Is he going to sense motive on us?
He's going to spend an action to shapeshift, and he's going to turn into a goblin.
Am I
going to
recognize the goblin?
You do.
Does the goblin speak other languages?
You do recognize the goblin. He was one of the Celestial Menagerie's sideshow features called the Grinning Goblin. His name's Kalkak.
Kalkak.
Well, Jeb, how are you going to feed me?
Well, if you see behind me, I've got a giant clown that hits things.
I can eat the clown?
Not this one, no.
This one.
Creel. Only Celestial Menageries.
Creel. So you're not Celestial Menagerie?
No, I helped Moonlight and Turtle escape shortly after they killed her mother.
He's got this big lopsided grin. And it's part of his thing. It's like, even while he was in the Barghest form, his lips peel back in a way that makes it look like he's grinning all of the time, and that carries over to his goblin form.
Been under the influence of powerful drugs for so many years, Jeb. I barely remember you. Creel, on the other hand, he's the guy who holds me down while they injected me with the drugs.
No longer.
No, I'm never going back.
Oh, we can go back.
No!
But it's to get rid of them.
Oh, to kill them?
Yeah.
Yes, devour.
We're definitely going to kill them, right? I just want to make sure, like, we're not going to be like, oh, we just want to...
I feel with Kestrel gone, this party's gotten a lot darker.
I mean, I see no reason why Moonlight wouldn't want to kill them.
Oh, Moonlight has no problem with killing
We could also just let him stay here and bring in the bodies.
I can't. I don't. You understand, there's so many of them. I can't just roll into the Celestial Menagerie with you.
You come in after us.
How does your feeding process work?
With teeth.
Well, I mean, do you have to do it while they're alive, or?
Would I know, can he, like, eat multiple people a day? Do they have to be alive or dead?
It's preferable that they're alive.
Could he eat the entire circus in one day and become a greater Burgess? Or is that like
challenge accepted?
Do you wish to stay here?
I don't want to leave the cave until you can confirm for me that they're all dead.
Well, not all dead. You want to eat some wine, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We are going to start, like, kidnapping the Celestial Menagerie people and, like, bringing them here in a bag to be eaten by a bar guest so he can become a greater bar guest and go back to his home plane of, I guess, yeah, the Abyss.
I mean, that sounds... The wizards think that sounds like fun. Yeah, that's a good time.
Okay, I guess I have one question regarding the wand. I have the Wand of Healing. Can I use any of the three actions with it?
Yeah.
Like, to heal him more?
Right, I mean, like, I have the wand. Do I choose what? Because it's still just action 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah, I think it's still a spell.
Oh, yeah, it's still.
You choose whether you want to use 1, 2, or 3 actions with the spell.
Absolutely.
So once you've used it, you're done for the day unless you want to overcharge it.
I tell him I'm not a huge fan of helping demons, but I know what the torture you've been through.
Oh, if you're going to stay in this cave, we're going to have a circus nearby. Like, don't eat. Our attempt, like the people that come to see us, like I'm the Wizard of Wayward Wonders. Like,
well,
we don't want like our people dying and stuff.
The wolves would bring me food.
We killed them.
You can eat the wolves.
I see you've killed them all. They'll last me a few days.
They're already cooked and everything.
They are. That's what that smell was. Delicious.
Yeah, some are well done, some are medium, and some didn't take any fire damage. So,
A variety. I like it. Wizard, I like you.
Well, that changed.
most people don't like me. Like, I was cool with that. Like,
well, you're giving me a different variety of food, and I like variety.
It is the spice of life.
Can I ask, what's the Abyss like? Do you remember?
I've been under the influence of so many drugs, I don't even recall.
That's a cop-out. I walk out of the room.
Well, fine, fuck you too, Wizard.
Is shapeshifting a thing of theirs?
Yes.
Or is it unique to him? Oh, okay.
No, barcasts are known for shapeshifting. They can take the hybrid form, a wolf form, or a goblin form.
That's some weird forms.
Yeah, those are the three they get.
I guess he kind of has a goblin-y face. All right, well, the deal's been struck. He gets 29 HP.
He'll take it.
And the wand is out for a day, unless I choose to overcharge it.
The wolf bodies will only last me so long. You're saying if I'm not going to feed on your circus, although if I were to leave the cave system, seeing people...
There's plenty of other wolves out there. Some birds. You said you wanted to spice up your meals.
Birds?
Yeah, it tastes like
morsels. I need full, large, meaty bodies.
Now you're asking a lot, dude.
If our members start dying, we will have a problem.
If I need to make an intimidate check on that, I will.
Do it.
I mean, he's got to be kind of leaning towards scared already. We did end his life in less than 2 turns.
25 against his will DC.
His beady red goblin eyes go wide for a moment.
Okay. Bush, what's your name?
I'm Moonlight, elected leader of the Circus of Wayward Wonders.
The ringleader makes me a little bit uncomfortable. Strike a deal with another secret circus leader. But I promise not to eat any of your circus members if you promise to bring me meals.
And you said the wolves will last you a couple days?
6 days. Well, 7. The one is bigger. Might last me 2 if I use him sparingly.
Okay.
I will do for you, Moonlight.
Deal.
He reaches out a little goblin-y hand.
And Moonlight reaches out a branchy hand.
The pact is sealed. Congratulations, party. You're kind of evil now.
Yeah.
finally took a turn. I guess we're striking deals with demons now to feed them the souls of mortals. But those souls are from the Celestial Menagerie, so fuck 'em. We certainly aren't going to be going down some deep, dark path of evil or anything like that. Right, guys? We here at MinMaxed want to thank you for joining us on these maybe soon-to-be evil adventures. We'd also like to invite you to come join us in our Discord, which is definitely not evil. In fact, it is fantastic. You can chat with us and other listeners of the show. If you play Pathfinder 2nd Edition or would like to do so, it's also a great place to come and talk to a bunch of people who use that system. There are tons of people happy to answer any questions that you might have. Finally, we'd like to thank our patrons on Patreon. If you'd like to support MinMax and help keep this show running, check that out. We really appreciate it. We'll see you again next week for more Extinction Curse. And until then, may you have many great adventures of your own.
It's your turn.